Sometimes it seems like, God, do you remember me over here? I'm hiding over here, and I'm just wondering if you're seeing all the stuff that's going on in my life. Do you remember me from way back when? You ever felt like that? When you're going through all of the difficulties, when you're going through all of the trials, sometimes it seems that God has forgotten you. But you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says, how could I forget you? For I have engraven you on the palm of my hand. What is on the palm of the hand of Jesus? A hole. A hole where the nails were that held him to the cross. Jesus has engraven us on the palm of his hand. In our world, you know, in times past, they would tie a ribbon around your finger or something like that to help you remember something. Oh, I need to make sure that I remember this appointment. So you tie a ribbon around you and say, oh, what's this ribbon? Oh, yeah, that's remember. I got an appointment today. Or you heard the song, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree to help us remember those that are maybe in the service or something. Or they'll put a certain color in their porch light or a candle in the window. Different things to help us remember. But you know what? We don't have to do that with God. He doesn't ever forget us. We don't need to reintroduce ourselves to God and say, hey, God, this is so-and-so. This is Russ Peters. I don't know if you remember me from 1984 when I prayed a prayer. We don't need to do that. God knows us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he knows us so well. He knows the number of hair, or in some cases the lack thereof, that are on our head. The Bible says our hairs are numbered. God knows us that well that he knows how many hairs are on our head. Does that say something to you? Now, I'm pretty close with my wife, but I ain't got no idea how many hairs she has on her head. And I'm pretty sure she doesn't have an idea of how many I got on my head. I don't think there's anyone that knows me better than her and her me. But God knows us, knows you so well that he has your hairs numbered. Now that's a pretty strong statement, wouldn't you say? That God knows us that well. He knows, the Bible says, he knows our needs before what? We even pray. Before we even say a word, God knows our needs. Does that mean that we don't go to God with our needs? No. No. God says to cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. That's God's word. Do you know that this is basically a compilation of God's words? This is, in a sense, God's love letter, if you will, to mankind. When I was a kid, and I was young and dumb, I mean, in love, I would write these sappy letters to my wife, my would-be wife, and she would write sappier letters back to me. And we would tell how much we loved each other. And we would talk about, you know, our plans and how we were going to do things, you know, how many kids we were going to have. And just, you know, crazy, just dreaming, just in love with each other. And love was just so strong. This is the sum of God's letters, if you will, to you and me. The Bible calls the church God's what? His bride. The Bible calls God's church his bride. God loved us so much. John 3:16, most of you probably know that scripture by heart, and it seems like we're quoting the word of God here often, which is a good habit to get into, yes? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves people, you and me, so much that he gave his only Son to be the sacrifice. To be the sacrifice. Now listen, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. All right? So in years past, long, long time ago, they would sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and things like that, lambs. And their blood would be sprinkled on the altar. And it would be burnt as a sacrifice, as an atonement for the sins of the people. The Bible says that Jesus became that sacrifice once for all. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that we don't have to be forgiven anymore? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that Jesus, in his willingness to be sacrificed, to become that sacrifice, to give his life on the cross, that means if we receive that as payment for our sin, you see, we owe a debt for sin. You know that? The Bible says that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, even the best of Christians, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that the best of people don't measure up to the holiness of God's standard. And so Jesus, God in his wisdom and his great love for mankind, sent his Son to be that sacrifice. Jesus willingly took on our sins on his shoulders when he went to that cross. Isn't that beautiful? It's hard sometimes in our humanness, our human minds, the way that we think. We don't think spiritually very often. We think in ways that we can see. But there's so much more to living. There is so much more to life than the physical. The spiritual part of our lives is so very much important. The Bible says that God is spirit, and what? Must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. You see? So if we're here on Sunday morning and we're just singing songs just to sing the songs, we're lacking, because we must sing, in a sense, with our spirits. God is spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Amen? Now, the Bible says that Occasionally, someone might die, sacrifice themselves for a good man, for somebody that's good, right? But very, very seldom. We hear of those kind of things in the service where a fellow soldier will give his life in the sense of maybe falling on a grenade so that his fellow soldiers might be saved. Okay? But very seldom do we ever hear or see people dying for someone else that they may live. Okay? But it might happen for someone that's good. But think about this. Jesus died for people that were not good. Jesus died for us, sinners. And you may say, well, I've been a good person all my life. I've done this, and I've done this. And you know what? We can try to bring our case before God, before the judgment seat of God, and we say, God, this is how good I am. This is why I deserve to go into heaven. Can you imagine such a thing? As if God doesn't already know our sins as well as our good deeds. But the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthiness, rags, dirtiness, stinkiness. And even though we would come with a prideful heart and say, God, I've done these things, I deserve to be in heaven with you. I deserve to go to heaven with you. He looks at you, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. So then, if we can't earn our right to be in heaven, what does it take to cover our sin? It takes a Savior. The Bible says that we have all sinned in Romans and fall short of the glory of God. And it also says the wages of sin is what? Is death. The wage, what we earn when we sin, what is sin? Help me out. What is sin, huh? Okay, disobedience to God. All right. Rejection, yes, all those things, okay? Not necessarily examples that I'm looking for, but I'm looking for maybe a definition. Sin is basically disobedience to God, all right? Knowingly or unknowingly, and we've talked about this before, if you come tearing into Medina, 55 miles an hour, in the speed zone, speed limit is 30 miles an hour in Medina, and you get pulled over, and the officer says, hey, the speed limit is 30 miles an hour in town. You were speeding. I'm going to give you a ticket. And you say, officer. And you bat your pretty little eyelashes. You say, officer, I didn't know it was a 30 mile an hour speed limit. So please, don't give me a ticket. And he's going to look at you. Just because you didn't know it was a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit doesn't mean you are not guilty. And in the same way, just because we didn't know God's word and what he says and what he demands and what he commands for us to do and to not do does not mean that we are not guilty of sin. Do you understand? And so because we are guilty of sin, we don't measure up to what God's standards are. We fall short. All right? What we earn then, like we earn a paycheck when we go to work, we perform a service of some sort, or if we have our own business, we do jobs to earn money. Okay? What we earn is money for what we've done. In the kingdom of God, the Bible is saying, when we sin, we earn death or we earn punishment. So then, sin is disobedience to God. So then what happens? How do we get out of this sin debacle, if you will, this sin bondage that is holding us from heaven? Sin separates us from God himself. Do you know that? Sin comes between us and God never, ever, ever wants it to be that way. And so, friends, in our sin need, in our sin deficit, we stand before the judge, God himself, the Almighty, as if we would stand before the judge of a town court, and we plead our innocence, and the only thing that is going to save us is not church, is not religion, is not all of our good deeds, hoping they outweigh our bad deeds. It doesn't work that way. The way that God provided for us to be freed from our sin is that in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin burden upon himself. And that's the way sacrifices work. You see, all of our sin was laid upon Jesus. Can we find that scripture? And it talks about all of our sin was laid upon him in Isaiah. All of our sin was laid upon him when he went to the cross and they nailed him to that cross. And when he died, all of our sin that was heaped upon him went to death with him. Because Jesus did die. But he died willingly. He died willingly. And on the third day, Jesus conquered the very last thing that could ever be conquered. Death itself. Death. Jesus. God raised Jesus from the grave on the third day. And I'll tell you what else. When God raised Jesus from the grave, conquering sin and death, we too rose with him. Though we died with him in our sins died with Christ. When he rose again, we rose to life in and through Christ. Does that make sense to you? Not through church, not through religion, not through good deeds. Through Jesus Christ alone. Our hope and our salvation is in Jesus Christ, friends. In no other name in the whole earth, the whole universe, in all of creation is there no other name, the Bible says, by which men must be saved. Let's see that scripture again one more time. We all like sheep have gone astray. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord, now listen to this, has laid on him, on who?
Jesus.
The Lord has laid on him the iniquity. What is iniquity? Sin. Disobedience. The Lord has laid on Jesus the sin of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He didn't defend himself. He knew where he had to go, and he knew what he had to do. In Romans, it says that God demonstrated his own love for us in this. You all know this scripture. demonstrated his love for us, his own love, it says, for us in this, that while we were still what? Sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Do you remember what we were talking about earlier, how someone may die for someone that's good? All right? But Jesus died for us when we were not good. Jesus died for us when we were yet sinners, when we were still disobedient, when we were still rejecting him, saying, God, I don't need you in my life. I don't need your religion. I don't need church. I'll do it my own way. While we were still saying that kind of garbage, Christ says, I love you so much that I'm laying down my life for you, and I'm taking your sin away. If you will receive me, I'm taking your sin away, and I'm taking it to the cross and to my death. When we just had a baptism here a month ago. When we undergo baptism, when we make that choice, this is not, and we need to be clear on this, that when we're baptized or christened or dedicated, more so is the accurate phrase for that, when we are dedicated as little children, you know, a year or so old, that's different. That's more of a parental decision, that I want my child to be raised in the ways of God, even though in most cases it's kind of making a check mark in the box that, okay, finally, my child was dedicated, now they're going to go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. When we are of age to make the decision to follow Christ and turn from our old lives, then we can make the decision, and a very important decision, to be baptized. And when we're baptized into Christ Jesus. We're not baptized into Russ Peters or Dan Thurber or Tim Lindsay. We're baptized into Christ Jesus, the Lord. And when we go under that water, we are signifying that we died with Christ. And when we come up out of that water, it's signifying that, yes, we have risen with Christ. We are a new creation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, everything is new. Friends, in the world that we are living in, that is what this world needs. Amen. This world needs to know that they can be forgiven no matter what their past life has been. I don't care if you are addicted to drugs. I don't care if you are addicted to pornography. I don't care if you've been divorced. I don't care what, and you can fill in all of the blanks and say how bad you were. Christ Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And I'm not talking sleep rest, friends. I'm talking spiritual rest, where your soul will be permanently at rest in Christ Jesus the Lord. Your sin debt was paid in full. What you owed to God because of your sin, Christ Jesus stepped in and he says, Father, this one, this one belongs to me. And when God the Father, the judge of all eternity, sees us in our dirt and our filth and our claiming our innocence and righteousness before him, and he says, I don't know you. Jesus steps in and he says, Lord, my Father, this one belongs to me. And God the Father sees the blood of his precious Son on you and on me. And no longer does he see our sin, because we are wiped clean. We are pure before the very throne of God. We are pure before God. Why? Not because of our righteousness, because of what Christ Jesus did when we were still dirty and stinky and stuck in our sin. That's the kind of God that we serve. That is the difference between Christianity and any other religion in the whole world. The Bible says that in no way will I turn away anyone who comes to me. And then so in Hebrews it says, let us come boldly before the very throne of God to receive mercy in our time of need, to receive our grace. Friends, we need grace. We need mercy. If it were not for those, we'd be still dead in our sins. We don't have to be that way anymore. We don't have to live that way. This is the message the world needs to hear. This is the message your friends need to hear. Your family need to hear. Your children need to hear. This is the message that brings hope. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, that those who hope in me will not be put to shame. What is your hope in? Is your hope in yourself? Is your hope in your own righteousness? Because your own righteousness is garbage before God. And you can say to God, I went to church every Sunday. And he says, yeah, but did you receive Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? You can say, Lord, I gave money every Sunday. But what did you do with Jesus? But Lord, I helped the poor. I traveled the world and I did all of these great things. But what did you do with Jesus? Friends, it all comes down to that. What have you done with Jesus? You see, Jesus is the gatekeeper, if you will. He is the one that we have to go through. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, what? Except through me. And you could say, well, I can get to heaven by doing such and such. I can get to heaven. I've got my confirmation papers. I'm going to heaven because of that. Well, I'm going to heaven because I go to church. I'm going to heaven because I do this. I've been a good person. I hope at the end of my life, all the good stuff I done outweighs all the bad crap I done. But I don't know. And John, the book of John, it says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, there is no guessing about it. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you believe in Christ Jesus the Lord, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you will go to be with him when your life is over. Yeah, but I don't believe in life after death. Well, you need to. The Bible talks a lot about it. What you see, what we believe doesn't change what the truth is. Some people believe that when they die, they're going to come back as something else and have a second chance to redeem their lives. That is a lie from Satan himself. He wants you to think that if you don't get it right this time, you can get it right the next time. That is a bunch of garbage. Because that lies to people in thinking they have another chance to get right before God. You got one chance, friends, one life to live to get it right. One chance. That's it. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. He is the gatekeeper. He is the way. God's Spirit is speaking to us today. Friends, you know that this message that we hear in church is not meant to stay here. This message is meant to take out of here. Yes, you. Okay? It's your job, it's our job to take this message of God's love, and that's all what it's about. All the things that God has done in here, it's all because He adores us. You're His boys, you're His sons, you're His baby girls, you're His daughters, and He adores you. But you say, yeah, but I've done these things, and I've embarrassed myself, I've embarrassed my family, I've embarrassed God, I can't even look. And He says, come to me. Come to me. Come. Don't hinder. Don't explain it away. Come to me. He is your Father. He is waiting. At every corner of every difficult situation of your life, God is waiting for you with open arms. And He's saying to you, He's beckoning you, come. Come, my daughter. Come, my son. You don't need to be afraid. And that scripture in Hebrews says, come boldly. Don't come hiding your face. You don't come boldly because you know that I will receive you. Don't come boldly because of your own pride. Come boldly because you know that I will never turn you away. And that scripture says, to all that received Him, to them that believed in Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. We're not born children of God. We are born into sin. If you leave a child alone, you don't have to teach a child to take things that don't belong to him. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They learn those things on their own. It is inbred in us. We are, even in the innocence and beauty of a child inside of us, we are born sinful. We are born that way, the Bible says. And when we understand that our sin demands a Savior, we can call on Jesus. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Have you already? Do you believe Him? This message of hope, this message, this gospel, and gospel means good news. This good news that we hear and we read time and time again from the Word of God is the very thing, it's the very answer to the state of the world in which we live today. It's our job to take this message the best that we can, and it don't have to be perfect, trust me. But you show that love of Christ Jesus to other people. You show it to them. Present it to them. They need to hear it. They may not receive it right then and there, but those seeds that are being planted in their lives, the seeds of God's Word will begin to grow in their hearts. Does that make sense? God's Word, it says, will not return to Him void. God's Word will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent out. And God's Word is being sent out to seek and to save that which was lost. What does it mean to be lost? To be lost, if you have a sheep or an animal that's lost, they can't find their home. They can't find their master. They're vulnerable. They don't have what they need. Friends, people are lost. They need to hear the word of God. They need to find their master. That's our job. And in Matthew 28, it says, go into all of the world. And that doesn't mean you've got to go to China. That doesn't mean you got to go to Kazakhstan or something like that. Though if you're willing, that's cool. And he'll take you. But that means go wherever you can and make disciples of people. You and I are disciples of people. Make disciples of all nations. Go wherever you can. Teach people how to follow Jesus. Does that make sense? Teach people how to follow Jesus. Teaching them, Jesus said, to obey everything I have commanded you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he promised us this, I will be with you even to the end of the age. I promise you that. Jesus won't ever leave you. He won't forsake you. He's not going to tell you something that he's not going to do. Would you stand with me today? There is no sin that's too great that God's love can't erase. Say that with me. There is no sin that's too great that God's love can't erase. Can you remember that? Can you remember when you're talking with other people? There's no sin that's too great that God's love can't erase. You know, sometimes people won't come into the doors of a church because they feel like they're too dirty. And frankly, the church makes them feel that way. Unfortunately, friends, the church has not done a very good job in that area. We've made people feel like they got to clean themselves up. They got to wear their suit and tie before they come to church. They got to comb their hair real nice. And they got to stop their smoking, stop their drinking, stop their carousing. Then you come to church. It's the opposite way by the example of the Word of God. You come to Him just the way you are, but don't stay that way. Don't stay that way. God wants you to produce fruit in your life. Just like an apple tree produces beautiful, succulent, tasty apples. We as Christians, believers in Christ Jesus, produce fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the kind of things God wants to produce in our lives. Are you lost today? Do you not know where your master is today? Are you dying in your sin? Because God has provided the way through Jesus Christ. And all it takes, there's no 12-step program, there's no certificate that's got to be signed. All you are doing is saying yes. That's it. All that you're doing is Jesus is holding out his hand and saying, son, daughter, I have done this for you. All you've got to do is take my hand and say yes. It's that simple. That's it. Are you willing to say yes to Jesus? And you say, yeah, but I don't know how I'm going to do. Worry about all those. I still drink. I still smoke. I still swear. I still do all the. Don't worry about that stuff. God will take care of that stuff. Don't worry about that. The thing that matters here and now, is what will you do with Jesus? What will you do? Will you turn him away again? Will you reject him again? Will you leave here today when he is holding out his hand to you and you say, I don't know your life. I don't know where you came from. I don't know why you're here today. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you've driven by this church 100 times, and today was the day that you finally made it through those doors. Whatever the case may be, you're here for a reason, and God has brought you here. God wants to save you. God wants to work in your life. God wants to heal you. God wants to take the broken things in your life, and he wants to mend them together and heal them in a way that only he can do. Don't put him off today. Don't make him wait. Don't you wait. All you're doing is putting off the great things that God has in store for you. Have you ever thought of that? God has great things in store for you. The Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Friends, we need those kinds of things in our life. We need hope and we need a future. We need the love of God in our lives, and that's what he wants to give you today. Don't say no. Don't refuse him. As we sing this song the last time, make your way to the altar. Let us pray with you. If you are here today and you've never prayed this prayer, if you feel so inclined, if God is moving in your heart and you just couldn't make your way forward, that's okay. That's all right. God will meet you right where you are today. And so I'm just going to offer some words that may help you to pray this prayer. So you can follow after me, but I ask that you would pray these words out loud so that you yourself can hear them. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know that I'm a sinner.
I know that I'm a sinner.
I know that I have disobeyed you.
I know that I have disobeyed you.
And I know that I need forgiveness.
I know that I need forgiveness.
And I know that I can find forgiveness in Christ Jesus.
I know that I can find forgiveness in Christ Jesus.
And what he did on the cross for me.
And what he did on the cross for me.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I declare to you.
I declare to you.
You are my Savior.
You are my Savior.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I receive you.
I receive you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. That's how simple it is. That's all it takes. It's that simple. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe if you prayed that prayer many years ago and you've kind of drifted away from your faith, would you come up and just talk to me for a moment? Just before you leave. I promise I won't keep you. God bless you. I love you. Come back again next week. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.